Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Orchard Park. It's a beautiful day here in Orchard Park. It's like 50 degrees. Blue skies, sunshine. The weather's going to change. Tomorrow going to be very gusty and windy. It'll be okay in Dallas on Thursday as well when the Bills play down there. We are into the week now, the short week, and we are back on the air from our Seneca studio at One Bills Drive. John Murphy joined by Steve Tasker, back after his trip to Calgary over the weekend. Good to have you back, Steve.
That's good to be back. Good to be back. Fun time in Calgary. The game stunk, but it was fun. It was a great time, great atmosphere at McMahon Stadium in Calgary. Great! It's the first time I've ever been to Calgary. It was
Steve
great.
Was there for the Grey Cup where his son Luke played, and
I'm
watched a little
fan.
Bit.
I'm telling, a big fan.
I had Eric Wood and Chris Brown here yesterday. Yeah. Neither one of them tuned into the Grey Cup. It was perfect timing here, 6 right. p.m. kickoff. Got home from the Bills game and watched a little bit of the Grey Cup.
So
I was surprised at how it played out.
Sunday before the game, before the Grey Cup began, it kicked off at like 4:30 there local, which is like 6:30 here, right? So the game out in Calgary, the Bills game in Calgary, started at like 11 a.m. So we're kind of getting antsy to find a spot where this got it on. All these bars have the ticket, right? So you're going to go in and find them. Well, we go to one, and they're like, you couldn't figure it out. So we're out. All 13 of us, we just like out, left them standing there. So we're walking along, and I'm getting antsy because, right?
You don't want to see your bills.
Right. So you know how it is. Let's go. So we're walking out and said, well, we could try this. And I'm like, if anybody, I've done this a lot. You travel with a big group. I got a big family, and all those years we went to the Super Bowl, we'd bring people with us. We went to the Pro Bowl, we'd bring people with us. So I'm used to we have done this in the past where we travel with big groups, right? And there's certain things you got to know. If you're going to go out to eat, you tell them where you're going to go eat and tell them what time you're going to be there. And then because you can't like wait for everybody. You can't say, well, who wants to eat? Well, I don't like pizza. Yeah, well, no, I don't really feel like steak. No. You just tell them where you're going to eat and tell them to be there, right? All right. So
you assume control.
Somebody's got to take control.
Somebody has to.
You may look like a jerk once in a while because you're saying, no, we're done. You might just make a call, but you got to do it.
You don't mind looking like a jerk.
Right. You got to do it for the team.
Fairly
obvious. So we start walking, right? So we find, I'm like, we got to go in every one. There's a place in Calgary, great little street. They got it all walled off all the time. You don't drive on it unless you're on a bike, right? And it's got fire pits all the way down it. It's nothing but shops and bars and restaurants. It's awesome, right? And I couldn't tell you the name of it. And I said, we got to go in every place and check it out and to make sure if they got...
Where is the Bills game?
Right. So we go down, there's a doorway. And I look up and it's the Bear and Kilt Pub. Let me just go check, right? And I go, right. Well, I don't know. It doesn't look. It's a basement bar. So I go down there, and it's like this total English pub down there. It's awesome. I go, can you get a certain NFL? Let me check. You know, they just opened, right? It's 11.
Yeah, it's 11
right. She goes, there it is. I go, boom, let's go. So everybody comes down.
So how many people do you bring in there?
It's like 13 of us, excellent. Right? So we all cool in. The Guinness starts.
Party
right
starts at 11 a.m.
Right, so... We're sitting there looking, and the guy behind the bar comes. We've been there for like a half an hour. Game's going. Bills are playing good. This is great, right?
Yeah.
You know, and we got a tab roll and the whole thing. Guy comes out behind the bar. He doesn't know. We're just watching the Bills. He just comes out, and he's got a Bills cap on.
Whoa.
Right? I'm like, hey, you Bills fan. What's going on? You know, he goes, yeah. He goes, I don't know. I was 8 years old. My dad turned on a game. Bills were playing the Patriots. Bills win the game. And I'm a Bills fan. I just decided right then and there I'm a Bills fan. I've been one for life. I go, really? He goes, yeah. And my dad decided since I was a Bills fan, he was going to be a Patriots fan. So here I am. I mean, he's still wearing the Bills hat. And I go, so I introduced myself. And he's like,
did he know you were a part of franchise history?
He did. Right, so yeah. We took pictures. I got a picture on my
phone. He did not recognize you?
Not by my face. And when I told him who I was, he recognized me.
Oh.
So then he goes, we got to get a picture. I got a picture. Maybe we'll put it up later in the show.
Drinks for free the rest of the game?
He comped everybody all day.
All day. It's good to be Steve Tasker.
We were there for, it was all of us.
13 people we for got, 3 hours.
We got notches in this place.
Yeah.
$100?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gives me my receipt. He goes, here you go. Here you take it. I said, we got cash. He gives me the receipt. It's a long receipt, and it's blank.
Wow.
So I got the
Bear
and
Kilt Pub. So Steve loves Calgary.
That's my favorite place.
The Bear and the Kilt.
Yeah. And I that wasn't even the best. Yeah, I didn't even, I forgot. He comped us.
Wow.
And we had nacho. We had food. They had a nacho dish there that was a bushel basket of nachos. It was like this. He goes, she goes, honey, you're kind of big. He goes, I'm sharing it. She goes, okay, good. And it literally was. It was like six bags of, six wow. family-sized bags of chips with, it was great.
What a day.
And the Bills were stifling. Their
yes.
defense was stifling.
It was a great win. Yes.
I mean, they gave up a couple of runs to Lindsey, gave up the one pass to Sutton.
Early.
One.
Yep.
Early. And I thought, okay, here we go, where it's a battle. And then that was it. The water just shut off. Yeah. So it was a great day. I love that.
Great day.
Game.
And then
it
you go to the Grey Cup and Winnipeg.
Grey Cup, not so great.
Beats your team, Hamilton. That's okay. Winnipeg. But it was a good family weekend. That's the part we were talking before you even went. Huh? You had everybody great. There, all your
12,
kids.
13, all five of my children and their significant others. And,
grandchildren.
All three grandkids were there.
What a great weekend.
And the in-laws and their son, my son's playing in the game. His in-laws were there with their son. It was just blast.
I did
blast.
Watch. I watched
for a
while.
We had the big Airbnb, so we were all staying in the same
place.
Oh, my gosh.
What a great weekend. We're glad to have you back.
And I got to tell you, my hat's off to Calgary. What a nice city.
Yeah.
Very nice city.
Yeah.
In every way.
Steve's back. We're glad to have him. We got a lot to talk about today. It's an abbreviated week. I feel rushed in essentially everything I'm doing this week.
You've got to, right?
I do. I went home last night.
You got to pack tonight.
Well, it doesn't take much to pack.
Yeah, but think about it. You're leaving. I'm not even going to see you tomorrow.
I'll be on the plane by noon. I won't be here tomorrow. I just feel rushed in everything I do, but I want to settle down and talk about this game. I spent last night doing what I usually do Tuesday and Wednesdays, which is make a spotting board up with the Cowboys and watched a couple of the Cowboys games, including the game against the Patriots, watched that in detail, and went back and watched their October 20th win against the Eagles. They were pretty dominant in that one. Steve.
They got some guys.
This is the most talented team the Bills have faced. I'm not saying the best team, but the most talented team at all levels, both sides of the ball. Special teams we'll leave aside for a while, but they are a talented, talented team.
I'll say this about, and I don't know that much about the Cowboys. I know that I played against them in the Super Bowl twice, and Jerry Jones bought the team, and he overpaid for it back then. Oh my gosh, he paid $190 million for him or something like that. And people were laughing at him, right? So you can laugh and see what that means now. But he started being the general manager right then. Right, hired Jimmy Johnson. They made that Herschel Walker trade. They did all this stuff. He started, learning it. By this time, I got to say this about Jerry Jones. People don't like him. He's kind of brash. He's out in the media. He does all this stuff. Let me tell you something. That guy gets some players. He's got some guys. And I got to tip my hat to him. For whatever else he is, that guy assembles a really good roster. And as a result, Jason Garrett's under some serious pressure, particularly this year. And I've said it before on this show, one of the reasons Jason Garrett has been able to survive as long as he has and not taken that team to a Super Bowl is because his real ability as the Cowboys head coach is to handle the relationship he has with Jerry.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he handles Jerry as well as any head coach handles an owner who is that active.
Yeah.
And I think that's why his longevity has been what it is, given the fact they haven't been to the Super Bowl.
He may be on the short list now, though, and, you saw what – we had the soundbite yesterday, Jerry Jones after the game in New England and continued reports. It's funny. There was a report late last night that I think it was from a guy you're having on the show tomorrow, Ed Werder, who said, all right, so they're not going to fire Jason Garrett before Thursday's game. And I thought, I'm sure Garrett's breathing easier now. It's Monday night. He's not going to get fired in the next 2 days. But there's all of that going on in the background. What does it mean to the Bills? I'll ask Steve about that. Probably not much. But there is all of that going on, and that's kind of the framework in which this game comes from. But when you look at the game itself, Steve, which is what I try to focus on when I get ready for these games, the talent is amazing that the Cowboys can put on the field. Amari Cooper, 56 catches. Randall Cobb, one of the best slot receivers. Michael Gallup has, 46 catches. Second-year guy, Michael Gallup. Dak Prescott is good, not great, good. And he's only been sacked 12 times in 11 games this year. The offensive line is sensational, loaded with first-round talent. First-rounders, Tyron Smith at left tackle, Travis Frederick at center, Zach Martin at right guard. Lyle Collins would have been a first-rounder. He came out, obviously, in that special draft. And the left guard, Connor Williams, is a really good second-rounder. Ezekiel Elliott, one of the top what, two or three running backs in the game? Defense. Defensive ends, DeMarcus Lawrence and Robert Quinn, they together they have like 15 sacks. They're good. They're really good. They don't play well, and their special teams holds them back. It did Sunday in New England, but they've got talent all over the place. This is going to be a really good test and a good challenge. I don't know if the Bills are overmatched. I don't think they are. I think Buffalo's pretty good too, but, man, the talent assembly that the Cowboys put on the field is impressive, and when you start to look at them in depth, it's really impressive. And, oh, by the way, next week's game, we'll probably be saying the same things about the Baltimore Ravens. They might – look, if the Cowboys are the most talented team the Bills have faced – this time next week, we might be talking about the Ravens as the best team the Bills have faced.
Yeah, no matter how this game goes, the Ravens are going to be the best. I think the Ravens are playing as well as anybody in the league. I think it's right now, if you're picking horses, you're picking the Niners and the Ravens to face each other in the Super Bowl. Yeah. If you're anybody outside of the fan base.
Oh, by the way, they play this coming week.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'll make this prediction about this game. The Bills – day after tomorrow in Dallas, if the Bills manage to win that game, Jason Garrett does not survive the weekend.
Probably. You're probably right.
I think there's just a lack – we know this. There's a lack of respect for the Buffalo Bills as a good organization, a good team, getting it together. 8-3 aside, nobody believes the Bills can beat anybody because they haven't beaten anybody with a winning record. Forget about the Broncos game and the Dolphins game. Those don't count.
The only winning team they've beaten is the Titans.
Right. They beat Tennessee. It was the Marcus Mariota Tennessee Titans, right? It's not the
kicker,
Ryan Tannehill.
And the
kicker missed all those fields. So the Bills don't get any respect, which is why if they go into Dallas and beat the Cowboys, that Jason Garrett won't survive it because they'll have been beaten by – forget about being 8-3 or at that point 9-3 if the Bills win. The Bills aren't a good team. I mean, that's just what it's going to be. And if the Bills beat Dallas, they still won't have beaten – they'll only have beaten one team with a winning record because Dallas will be 6-6 at that point.
Yep.
So you're not getting – this is not a game that's going to say anything about Buffalo if they win it. If they win it, it'll be like, hey, they're 9-3. Then people are going to say, well, you know, they keep doing it. You know, they have to acknowledge it, but they're not going to give the Bills any respect over that.
So you're talking about this. Let me disagree with this, and I think – maybe I'm not disagreeing. You're saying if the Bills win,
they
will not get any credit for it? Nationally, you're talking about. Because let me tell you something.
I'll tell you what will happen.
If they go down to Dallas and beat this talented team, I'm giving them full grades. I'm giving the Bills full marks. At 9-3, they will be. And I think I think the Bills are getting better. And I think that's happened in a large way in the last couple of games. The easy opponents, but still, they handled Miami and they handled Denver.
Beat them both by 17.
If they win this game... I don't care what – we talked about this yesterday when you weren't here.
Yeah.
I don't care what the national narrative is about the Buffalo Bills. Do they belong here? Are they this good? We'll talk about this on this show, too, with Kyle Brandt. I don't care what that is because I know this. If they go down there and win I already think they're for real. I think it's another step forward for a pretty good Buffalo team if they win this game. I do.
Every win's a step forward, I think, at this point. And I think this is a point where this is – I think this is obviously a much bigger test than anything they've faced coming up since the Philly game.
Cleveland, we talked about their bad record and their good talent. And I want to think back on that game, and the Bills didn't play well there, but I think that was a pretty talented group the Bills lost to in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and it's a little bit like that this week. It's kind of a talented crew that's, you know, had a few stumbling. The Cowboys are 6-5 right now. So, yeah, they got hit in the mouth. They lost to the Jets.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to watch that game this week. I don't want false security about
this.
Now,
the Jets
game.
Are playing a lot better than they were opening weekend.
We know how the Jets are.
When Sam was coming down with mono.
We knew who the Jets are.
But this is a Dallas team that's really good. But it's not going to be like a Dallas team that's, you know, it's 8-3 like the Bills are.
Right.
But I still don't – they'll still – I'll tell you, here's how it's going to happen, Murph. So, if the Bills were to find a way, any way they could, to win this game, the story is still not going to be about Buffalo. It's going to be about Jason Garrett getting fired.
Again, you're talking about the national story, just to be clear.
Because nobody will care. Nobody it will go I'll completely
care. Here,
under the
I think
the,
most of our viewers and listeners
it'll
will
go
care.
Completely under the
that's
radar.
That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, you shouldn't
care.
You shouldn't care. But that's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
you know that's
what
will happen. It'll totally overpower. And who's going to take over for him? You know, who's going to be the next Cowboys?
There was some crazy – look, Dallas is a weird football market, obviously, and it's, they love the soap opera, I think, and I'm reminded of that this week as I follow along the Cowboys. And there was one weird speculation that maybe veteran tight end Jason Witten would be in line to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And I saw the headline and did not read it. I said, come on. Come on, man. Right? Right?
That's –
But that's what goes on in Dallas. That's what they love in Dallas, that kind of soap opera.
It's like it's almost like Dallas is a constant TV show that is akin to the Oscars presentations. It's a red carpet. Every game is a red carpet celebrity show up, you know, photo op. It is a show business, behind the scenes look all the time in Dallas.
Yep.
And I, you know, it's where they run it.
Go ahead, Cowboys, if you want it like that. Look, and one more thing before we dig into the show. 3 weeks ago, going into the Cleveland game, we talked a lot on this show about how that game was the Bills' culture versus the Browns' talent. I'm not going to go there again this week, but it's kind of similar. The Bills have this team culture, and they've maximized it. People will laugh. Even in town, people laugh. What are they talking about, Bills' culture? I'm talking about a team that plays for each other. I'm talking about John Brown sitting here yesterday talking about they've got a team that takes care of each other, that loves each other, how comfortable he is here, didn't think it would happen this way. You know, John Brown sat right here yesterday and said that, and he meant it. The team, he talks about a team that loves each other. That's the Buffalo Bills. Here's the Cowboys with all those stars, all that talent, a decent 6-5 record, turmoil in the coaching ranks, second guessing of the head coach. They can have it. They've got this nice new stadium that looks like a luxury shopping mall. They can have it. They can have it. I want the Bills to go in there and beat them, and I think they can, Steve. I think they can.
Well, it's going to be a good. I think it's going to be a really good game. I think the Bills can compete with anybody, no question about it. They're going to have to play well and limit mistakes, and they're going to have to force some mistakes. I'll tell you, this Dallas team is big, strong, physical, and Zeke Elliott is a hammer. You're going to have to tackle him early, and you're going to have to get used to doing it a lot. They don't miss a trick in the running game. Their offensive line is massive and mobile, and it's going to cause some problems up front for the Bills. So I think when you look at this Dallas team, 6-5 or not, they're impressive. Particularly, Dak Prescott has had a season that has been under the radar really good because of the fact they've kind of win-loss kind of thing. But they are really talented. And actually, we got some sound about Sean McDermott.
He's got 3,400 yards passing already.
Yeah.
With six games left to play. Hey, so today's show, let's talk about that. The Bills practicing right now. It is an abbreviated week here. This is going to be an abbreviated practice. We will not go live out to Chris Brown to practice, just not enough time. But Chris Brown's going to come in after practice or after he's excused from practice in about 15 minutes. Sit right down here, tell us what he saw, what he can tell us about what he saw, and we'll talk about this matchup, the Bills and the Cowboys. Chris Brown is going to join us at 12:30. After practice, we're going to get Cody Ford in studio here. The Bills' second-round draft pick, Cody Ford, went the distance, 100% of the snaps at right tackle on Sunday against Denver. A good matchup for him against Von Miller, and he gets another tough one against either DeMarcus Lawrence or Robert Quinn or Michael Bennett, the former New England Patriot. They are good up front defensively, the Dallas Cowboys. Cody Ford's going to join us here deep into his rookie season. We'll talk about that. 2 o'clock hour, Kyle Brandt, our Tuesday guest from the NFL Network, the co-host of Good Morning Football. Kyle Brandt's got a lot to say, a lot about John Brown, a lot about this test for the Bills. We'll talk with him about that. He's going to join us at 2. So they're outside right now. Mitch Morse, according to Sean McDermott, going to be limited today with his hand injury from Sunday. McDermott was asked about his availability for Thursday, and McDermott said we'll know more after practice. Wide receiver Robert Foster, limited today with his hamstring issue. Out today, Ty Nsekhe with his ankle. He will not practice, as they said last week. He will be week to week. Cowboys have injury concerns as well. They're going to be without nose tackle Antoine Woods this week. He's got a knee issue. They're going to be without, it appears, linebacker Leighton Vander Esch, second-year linebacker, very good player, for the second consecutive week. It's the abbreviated week, the short week of practice. The Bills have to travel as well. Sean McDermott was asked today, just in the last hour or so, how do you get a team ready to play with such a short time to do it? Here's McDermott's answer.
Handful of exposures, experiences in my career, and the coaching staff's sample as well. So we've leaned on each other, the experience that we've had together, the things we've learned from those experiences, and then we've just tried to take advantage of our time and be efficient with our time here. Look, at the end of the day, you get to a point where you're saying, "Hey, how much can they handle?" And They got to go play. And so, you know, that's a delicate balance for us as a coaching staff. And for them is what do we prioritize during a week like this where you're challenged from a time standpoint?
It's a challenge, no question about that. And there's travel challenge as well. The Bills' longest or at least second longest trip of the year. You know, your Bills teams years ago had a lot of different weird games, right? There was Thursday night football back then as well, right? Wasn't there Thursday night football? There was.
Yes.
Short weeks.
Short weeks. We played on Thanksgiving in Detroit I remember.
Yep. 94.
Yeah. And it's tough to bounce back. Particularly, it depends, too, on – I mean, you got to think about it. Think about a guy like our boy Lorenzo.
Yeah.
He
said it here Friday.
He's like, dude, I don't even get back in the saddle until Thursday, you know? Now he's got to play a game.
Here with us Friday, he said, man, I was thinking today, Friday, about how shaky I felt Thursday in practice. He
this
said,
last
now,
week.
Yeah, now I got to look ahead and play on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
And he played a lot of snaps this past Sunday.
Yeah.
It's
and
tough.
And you spend most of your time, and we say it a lot, but it's really true. They'll spend more time recovering this week than they will practicing. They'll spend more time getting massages, cold packs, seeing treatments, ice packs, warm packs, cold bath, hot tub, massages, the whole nine yards. They'll do it again and again and again, over and over and over, trying to get their body to rebound after a tough game that they had this last week at home. Now, the break for them was that was at home. They didn't have to travel again and all that, take a flight. But they're trying to get hydrated. They're trying to get they back up the sports science crew will be backing it up in reverse engineering it so that they'll have these guys ready to peak at 4 o'clock on Thursday, day after tomorrow. So they'll start doing stuff. As soon as the game was over, they started getting guys lined up. All right, here's your schedule. Here's what we want you to do tonight, tomorrow, Monday, and then today, Tuesday, tomorrow, Wednesday, before the flight, during the flight, and after the flight. All of that stuff is on the table, and they'll try and get these guys, you know, to rebound quick. But it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And plus, you got to watch film and see who you're playing, you know? Who's this guy I've got to go against?
And this is a team they haven't played, right? Most of these guys have never played against the Cowboys.
Right.
It's going to be interesting. A lot of but the Bills don't go into it blindly, and McDermott just said that. You know, they've got Sean and some of his coaches who have dealt with these short week games before and dealt with even Thanksgiving games before. So they know what they're up against, and they're up against it a little bit with a very talented opponent. All right, Twitter poll today. You ready to do the Twitter poll?
All right.
Twitter poll today. Bills-Cowboys Thursday, 4:30 kickoff, right, from Dallas AT&T Stadium. What's the biggest challenge the Bills face when they go up against the Cowboys this week? What do you think? Give us a call. Lines are open, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet. You can vote in the Twitter poll already. 400 or more votes in already. The biggest challenge the Bills face against the Cowboys, 64% of you say Ezekiel Elliott. I think you're onto something there. 25% say it's Dak Prescott in the Cowboys pass game. Don't underestimate them. 7% say the Cowboys defense, especially their pass rush with those two defensive ends, Robert Quinn and DeMarcus Lawrence. 4% have something else in mind. What do you think the biggest challenge the Bills face with the Dallas Cowboys this week? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Big game, nationally televised game. But can I say something, Steve?
Yep.
I've already said that. Is it okay? I've already said that the national perception of the Bills does not interest me that much. I understand what people see and hear, and I understand the disregard that people have for the Bills. I understand that. I know why it is. But, look, I've heard people say this week, I've heard Buffalo people say this week, oh, the Bills finally get to the big time now with the Thanksgiving game in Dallas. Oh, the Bills have not been ready for this kind of game for years and years. They would have been embarrassed at any other time to play a Thanksgiving game in Dallas. No. No, look, get out of your head, listeners, viewers. This is the Cowboys are not an elite team, and they haven't been for a while, right? Jason Garrett hasn't taken this team to the Super Bowl. And I looked it up. Last 5 years, Cowboys have been okay. The Bills have been okay in the last 5 years. You know how many wins the Cowboys have more than the Bills over the last 5 years? Four wins over 5 years.
Over 5 years.
It's like 48 wins for Dallas.
And we sprinkled a 6-10 in there.
Yeah,
last
and they had a really bad year and a couple of good years. But it's not like the Bills are going up to the varsity level this week. It's not like the Bills are making a pilgrimage to the mountaintop this week. look, it's a talented team, but they're an NFL team just like the Buffalo Bills. Don't get caught up in this, oh, the Bills finally get to play. They would have been embarrassed had they gone to Dallas any other year. No, not really. The Cowboys are they're a good team. They're a talented team. They're 6-5, two games worse than the Bills' record. But this is not the mountaintop. It's not. It offends me almost when I hear people talk about it.
Yeah, I'll tell you this too. If you've been to Dallas games before, right?
One game. I did. Right, new stadium.
Right.
One game.
So I've done a couple of those games. I was working with Westwood One Radio, and I was a sideline reporter for the national broadcast of a Monday night or a Sunday night game for Westwood One. And so I did a Washington Redskin game, and I did a Philadelphia Eagle game there. You know, all these NFC East games that are always on national.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and before the game, I'm walking around looking, watching the guys warm up, kind of, you know, just doing my job, kind
pre-game
of
thing,
watching
yeah.
pregame thing, watching for, you know, kickers stuff and interactions between teams and, you know, former teammates or whatever. And I'll tell you what, it was almost the atmosphere pregame in a Dallas stadium, and that stadium on a night primetime game was almost it was so almost showbiz.
Yeah.
It was show business. Jerry Jones is on the sideline with a huge entourage of people in suit and ties, and the ladies were all dolled up. I mean, it was like they were going to a formal dinner almost, right? And they were on the sidelines, on the field. They were on the field milling around talking about things. And then there would be fanfare music, and then a couple of Cowboy guys would walk out of the side tunnel out behind the bench. They would have fanfare music, right? And they on the big screen TV, they would show the guys as soon as they came out of the locker room it was unbelievable, the showbiz quality, the television quality production of just the pregame warm-ups. There's a lot going on. And if you got guys – and let's face it, you worry about players kind of being able to put that out of your head, particularly young players. When you go in there, you don't play there twice a year or once a year like the Eagles, the Redskins, and, you know, the Giants. They see it all the time. They're kind of used to it. Guys like Devin Singletary. Guys like Tremaine Edmonds. These guys who haven't been in there before who are going to say, wow, what are they doing? What is all this? It's a distraction.
What's this got to do with football would be the question.
It's a huge distraction. Yeah. It's like, am I going to be able to warm up here? Is it all right if I run over in this part of the area where these people in suit and ties are sitting? I mean, I got, you know, this is our area here. You know, it's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. And, it's stupid, I think.
Yeah, and it's lights and smoke.
Yeah.
And it's
baloney.
Yeah. And the stadium is, you know, you can't take a jacket off in the stadium without putting your elbow against a flat screen. I mean, everything is televised.
Yeah.
Everything that is available is on those screens all the time. And it is an enormous... You get the enormous feeling you're not part of a football game anymore. You're part of a program.
Yeah,
and it's
they can have their show business.
Right.
Steve.
And
they
it's,
can have
but
it.
It's a
we
huge,
got football here over here.
It's a
this
huge
stadium.
Distraction when you're trying to get to the field. These, you know, the Bills, the opponents are trying to get to the field, and there's this fan. You can't even. There's so much going on. You almost have to concentrate as much in the pregame warmups as you do during the game just to get it done. It's an issue. I think is you got to be ready for as a team, and. Something that, if you spin it the right way, can be motivation.
If that's the future of the NFL, I weep for the future. Seriously. We got football going on over here 8 times a year, and it's fun, and it's great, and the crowd is into it, and they're there to watch a game. They're not there to be seen or to be dressed up or to look at, you know, who's looking at me. You know what I mean? Who are the celebrities here? We got football going on over here.
I know we're up against the break, but this is fascinating for me to talk about because I've been in almost every venue in the NFL. And the pregame atmosphere is unique to each stadium. Obviously a little similar because it is a football game and you got these stuff going on, but it's all unique in the vibe and what the team puts out there is their pregame, you know, entertainment, interest, teaser kind of thing. So you go to in Oakland in the old – it's a costume party.
Right.
And it's about the fans.
It's a low-grade costume
party. Yes, it's about the fans – making a show more so than it is the guys on the field warming up or anything like that. It's unbelievable. So there's all kinds of unique things that happen in all of these stadiums. And Dallas, though, I think Dallas is set apart.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of atmosphere.
I do not.
And I can only imagine what it's going to be like on that Thanksgiving.
I do not look forward to that. I look forward to kickoff to a game, which I think is going to be a good game and a competitive game. But that pregame baloney, I do not look forward to.
You're going to be 200 yards.
Oh, I know. I've been in that booth. It's awful. It's terrible.
The game is going to be
a rumor.
Yeah.
I know.
It's going to be third-hand information.
We'll do our best. Chris Brown standing by to join us. Bills insider just off the practice field. We'll talk with him. We'll talk with you. What's the Bills' biggest challenge when they go up against the Cowboys Thursday in Dallas? Let us know what you think. We're back with Brownie. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health. Coming to you from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Back 105, John Murphy. Steve Tansker is back, folks. Glad to have him here. It's the only, well, I'll be with you Friday again, Steve. You'll miss me.
Yeah, Friday's like football Monday.
Yeah, don't think too hard about that.
Yeah,
Chris Brown joins us from BuffaloBills.com, Bills Insider. He co-hosted the show yesterday. He's doing this Adam Schefter, I'm playing with my phone while I'm on the show, just to impress us. What do you got, a grocery list coming
I'm
in?
Telling
or
Jay to turn down my headphone because you're screaming in my ear right now.
Welcome to the show, Brownie. You were just out of practice. Beautiful day. Let's start. We always start with weather when you're out there. It's a gorgeous day in Orchard Park today.
It is unseasonably mild.
Yeah, yes. Sunny.
I passed GM Brandon Bean walking out when I was escorted back in, and he only had a sweatshirt on.
Yeah, so it was great out there.
It's unusual for late November.
So what would we ask you if you were out there? We would probably start with the offensive line with the injuries and the upheaval there. What did you see that you can tell
so
us?
So no Ty Anseki out there, not practicing, and I really don't anticipate he's going to be ready, especially on a short week. So he's probably out of the mix. So that means Cody Ford again, right tackle from wire to wire, as he did last week.
Cody Ford on the show today after practice, by
the
way.
There you go. So you can buzz him about, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence and the fun he'll have over there with him. And then and he's not even leading the team in sacks. It's Robert Quinn on the other side.
He's a player, man.
And then Mitch Morse is out there. He was stretching, but we really didn't see much after stretch. He did line up with the offensive lineman. So as Coach said at the press conference today, I think it's a wait and see. It truly is, because what we're talking about is a functionality issue with his snapping hand. The finger injury is on his snapping hand. That's why he did not go back into the game last Sunday. And so what you have is a pressure point issue when you're holding the football.
Do we know, is it thumb or one of the other?
It's not the thumb. Okay. I know that. What finger it is, I do not know. But it's not his thumb. So there's still pressure points that are important to have on the football when you're snapping it back, especially in shotgun. And if you have a finger issue on your snapping hand, the whole thing feels different. The operation feels different. So the question is, A, can he adjust and still be accurate on shotgun snaps where they can trust him in a game? And if not, he may not be able to play. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Spencer Long in the locker room yesterday because he used to be the center for the Jets last year, and he had a broken middle finger.
Oh, that was a nightmare, too.
That he was trying to tape up and play with
for
5 weeks. And he said, I cost myself money last year by trying to play through it because it got so bad to the point where he got pulled out of the game and had to play guard the rest of the year because he could not consistently and accurately snap the ball to Sam Darnold. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, this is the worst injury for an offensive lineman to have. I said, well, hold
on. Center?
I said, the worst injury? He said it's bad because of the psychological game it plays on you, because you look at the other guys in the locker room and you're like, you're sitting for a finger? Uh-huh. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's that machismo thing where it's like, man, I want to be out there and playing. It's just a finger. But at the same time, you really genuinely have to weigh, am I costing my team by trying to snap a football when I know I can't consistently do it?
That broken finger is the exact reason why Spencer Long is a Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
That he tried to go out and snap it to Sam Darnold. They had like three or four snaps in a game that were like over
his
head
Miami
or whatever.
Game. That was the they lost the game because of it.
What happened? And that soured the organization on Long because he was trying to play through it, and it took. And it's also one of the reasons why they got a new head coach because because
that's the Jets.
What's the difference? What's the head coach last year?
Todd Bowles
wouldn't make the change.
Yeah,
Spencer Long was going to keep trying to do it, and Todd Bowles said, "Listen, just go to guard. We'll get somebody else to snap the ball out of shotgun because Spencer Long was launching it over his head."
But he had some good
insight.
That's
why Spencer Long's a Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, he had some good insight though on it. I figured, you know, I remembered him trying to fight through that with a bad finger last year, so I talked to him yesterday in the locker room, and yeah, he had some good insight. He said, "Look, Mitch decided on Sunday that it was not smart for him to go back in the game and try to snap when he was having trouble doing it." He goes, "I thought he made the right decision. You can't put your team in jeopardy just because you want to be out there for your team. You have to be big enough to say, I'm probably doing more harm than good here for the benefit of our offense. I'm going to have, as much as it pains me, I'm going to have to stand here on the sideline and just be ready in the event of an emergency." And that's what happened.
Yeah. Right. So we don't know what Mitch Moore's status will be, and I don't think you want to guess just yet.
No, I'm not guessing, and I don't know that we'll have an opportunity to talk to Coach again before the game because tomorrow is like a Saturday for all intents and purposes. There's no media access, and he talked before practice, which means he's not talking after practice today. But Coach basically said today they want to see how he does at practice.
Yeah.
How well can you snap? Is your finger okay, or have you made the adjustment in the way you snap to still be accurate with shotgun, because they're in shotgun a lot.
Yeah.
So,
and he was this close Sunday to returning to the game. He was out on the field to return to the game.
So he went to the locker room, probably got x-rays, came back out, but then never went back in again.
Yeah. And it's a tough call as a player when you want to go. And let's face it, for guys like me who ran around, it was a toe injury for us, right? I mean, because you couldn't run. If you can't run, you can't play and all that stuff. But for an offensive lineman, those guys can play with just about anything. But at center, like, for instance, Mitch Morse could probably play guard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But he can't play his position anymore, right? So if you wanted to have him up as a backup guard, yeah, you could probably activate him. He could probably play and handle it. But it just – because could you imagine what would have happened in that Denver game if you had, like, three snaps – skyrocket over, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would have killed you.
Yep.
And that's what happened to him last year. It's too big a risk.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, just off the practice field, and I don't want to dwell on injuries, and it is a short week. Robert Foster with a hamstring pull in Sunday's game, going to be limited today. They may have a move to make there, and maybe what, activate Duke Williams if Foster can't go Thursday?
I think it depends on the game plan. It's clear to me that the approach that this team has taken on offense the last couple of weeks is to play as fast as possible and put as much speed on the field as possible. Duke Williams is not a speed player.
Right.
But really, you're getting down the depth chart here at the receiver position. So Duke Williams could very well be up, but it wouldn't surprise me if Andre Roberts is the guy that's rotating in more with the receivers when they go, if they go no huddle 11 personnel and do some periodic substitution series to series. It might be Roberts who's the fourth man in that rotation this week, even if Duke Williams is up.
It could have something to do with where they fit in special teams too. Robert Foster's been doing a lot of special teams on coverage units and that kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know if Duke Williams can make an interchange into that.
He was on punt team. I know he was on punt team earlier in the season in practice. I saw him on punt team. I don't think he wasn't on any of the return teams. He was on punt team, and I'll have to go back and check my notes and see if he was on kick coverage, but I don't think he was on that either.
Hey, Chris, get to work on our Twitter question today, would you? What's the Bills' biggest challenge? You don't have to.
Get to work on this,
Do this for me. No, we'll offer you our Twitter suggestions here. You don't have to follow it. The Bills' biggest challenge when they go up against the Cowboys, their pass game, Dak Prescott and those dynamic wide receivers that they have, one of them held without a catch, Cooper, on Sunday. Is it Ezekiel Elliott, a two-time NFL rushing champion? Is it the Cowboys' pass rush, those defensive ends, something else? What's the biggest challenge the Bills face this weekend, this Thursday?
Yeah, I really believe that Dallas is just going to go back to basics. I think we have to anticipate that on a short week, both teams for that matter, are going to be scaling back the volume of their game plans just because you're not getting the practice reps on the field this week. Mm-hmm. So scale down game plans, and I think that Dallas tries to punch Buffalo in the mouth and run the football and take a page out of Philadelphia's book and what they did here in Buffalo about a month ago. So that's the approach I expect them to take. People have already talked about how Ezekiel Elliott doesn't look like quite the explosive running back that he used to be.
I don't know
if I'm ready to pass that judgment yet.
I've watched two games last night, and I like him a lot.
I think he's a sledgehammer. I'm not buying that. And so I believe that you've got to stop Elliott, make them one-dimensional, all the while knowing your job is far from over at that point. The thing that keeps rolling in my head is with all the talent that Dallas can put on the field, both offensively and defensively, you've got to win the majority of the matchups. It's about winning the matchups this week, in my opinion. Yes, the Bills play team defense, and that's part of what enables their defense to handle some of the difficult matchups. But realistically, you got to be solid across the board against this team, because if you shut down Cooper, the job's not over. You got Gallup over here, and you got Cobb in the slot. And we haven't even talked about the tight ends yet or Ezekiel Elliott coming out of the backfield. Yep. So there are so many things that have to be accounted for. It's stunning to me that this team is 6-5. It's stunning.
I know.
Stunning when you look at all the athletes they can put on the field on both sides of the ball.
You, like many observers, skipped over what I believe is the strength of that offense.
It's the line.
Yeah, Tyron Smith, first rounder. Connor Williams, second rounder. Travis Fedrick, first rounder. Zach Martin, first rounder. Lyle Collins should have been a first rounder.
A couple of those guys are beat up. Lyle Collins and Zach Martin have been limited this week, and
they're just
really banged
good.
Up. But they're probably really good. Yeah, they're
solid. 12 sacks in 11 games.
Right,
that's it.
Yeah, they've been good for a while.
It's been
one of the top two offensive lines in football for probably the last 4 years.
I made this assertion in the last segment, Brownie, because there is a lot of pressure on Jason Garrett to get the most out of this roster that, as you said, and we've all seen, it's really talented. If the Bills go in and beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, does Jason Garrett survive the weekend?
Who do they have on that coaching staff that is capable of serving an interim role?
Did you see
Marinelli?
Did you see?
I mean, are we going with Rod Marinelli, the defensive coordinator?
Somebody
speculated that Jason Witten will replace him.
Oh my God!
Exactly. That's what I said.
Right. That's so.
That guy can't even handle the broadcast booth. He's going to run a football team. Wow.
Yeah.
The stuff will have officially hit the fan at that point. I don't know that he has an answer to turn to on the current staff, so I think he gets to the end of the year.
His brother, Judd Garrett, is there. Did he play here, C? Did he play with you?
Yeah, he didn't play. He
Jason
was here.
And Judd?
You got.
And John was the third brother, right?
Oh, boy. Right. There's a Dallas combo, if ever there was one, a guy named Judd.
John Kitna is there as their quarterback coach.
Here's the thing. It wouldn't be him.
It would be Rod Marinelli to get him through the.
If they're going to change head coaches, that means they're throwing the towel in on the season. So Rod Marinelli's fine, because then there would not be any pressure to keep him at the end of the season.
Well, that's valid.
No matter what he does.
I don't think they do, because if you lose your 6-6, now you're, what are you, in a dead heat with the Eagles at that point? Yeah. No, the Eagles lost last week. So what are they, 5-6?
Yeah, they're a game behind them.
Okay.
No, are they? I don't know. I'll look.
So they would pull even. And the division is still in play. Do you want to upset the apple cart and completely blow it up in the division lead?
Yeah.
I mean, as bad as 6-6 is for what was expected of this football team, I don't know if you blow it up there.
Yeah, if they lost, they're 6-6. So the best Philly could do after this week is 6-6.
Yeah.
If they win.
So you're still at the top of the division. I don't think they deep six the coach. I think it's going to happen at the end of the year, but I don't think it happens at the end of this week.
Bills can win this game.
I think it's a winnable game.
I do too.
But I think a lot of things have to go right.
I do too.
A lot of things have to go
right. They've been going right for a couple weeks.
Yeah, and I think where you can get this team is if you're sweating the details, because this Dallas team is not a team that sweats the details. I think they take their talent for granted too much. And because of that, I don't think they sweat the details and the small stuff that can sometimes swing the momentum of a game, swing the balance of a game, and that's part of the reason why they lost last week. They don't sweat the details.
Yeah.
They made some key mistakes on special teams last week, certain down and distance situations, where they were on the field, recognition of time and score. These kinds of things seem to slip past this Dallas team. So knowing how methodical Coach McDermott and his staff are in their approach to the game each and every week, hopefully they're sweating the details along with their players, and it makes a key difference somewhere in this football game.
Chris, thanks. We'll see you on the plane tomorrow.
You got it.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, joining us after practice today. Steve and I coming back with more. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, live from the Seneca Studio. Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here on this Tuesday afternoon. The Bills getting set to play the Cowboys. Steve, I got to mention this, and it's Hank Bullitt passed away last night. You did not play for Hank. In fact, you arrived here, a week after he left, right? After he was fired.
5 days after he got released on a Monday. I was hired on a Friday night.
Okay. Did you ever meet Hank?
Never met him.
Good guy. And I just want to say this about him just for a minute. Hank was, of course, head coach of the Bills, 21 games, parts of 85 and 86, 4 wins, 17 losses, pretty bleak record, but a really good guy. And I got to know him in obviously a different era of Bills football and NFL football in the mid-80s. He came here as a decorated college coach. You know, he had a great career as a player and coach at Michigan State, was a great defensive coordinator in the NFL with the Cincinnati Bengals, and came here to try to work that magic with Kay Stevenson's Bills in 85. Kay gets fired. Hank gets promoted. It was the logical choice at the time. Did not work out. He was not a good head coach. But you know what? He was not a clown. And I hear a lot of guffawing about the late Hank Bullitt, you know, in recent years, and even since he passed overnight. He was a pretty good guy, and he treated me well. I'm a 26, 27-year-old broadcaster, and he just said, yeah, you're the guy, let's talk, you know, and he would talk. He, Fridays, in that era, on Fridays, there was no media here. It was myself, Milton Northrup from the Buffalo News, and that was it on Fridays, covering the Bills, and maybe four or five others on Wednesday, media day. But on Fridays, Hank would take us into his office in the stadium after practice, sit there, eat pizza and wings. He had pizza and wings for the players. Yeah. Dip his pizza into this blue cheese, which sort of freaked me out. I was like, whoa, I've never seen anybody do that. And talk to us about the game, you know, off the record, deep insight about the game. And he knew what he was talking about. We're sitting there one Friday. The Bills are playing the Bengals, and Mouse McNally, No, this is Hank's old team. Miles McNally was the Bengals' offensive line coach. And Hank's talking about Miles, and I think they'll do this, I think they'll do that. And he goes, well, let's call him. Hank picks up the phone right in his office and dials up Jim McNally and just puts him on speakerphone. And now the four of us are talking about Sunday's game. He was amazing. And I'll never forget. And this hit me when I heard about Hank's passing, and I really feel honestly about this. So he was let go in November when you came, November of
November
80,
3rd, I think he
yeah,
got released.
Yeah, 86, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 86. And it was a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, and Hank, as he was always open, I said, I'm working in radio at WBEN Radio. Hank, can I come out and interview you? Yeah, come on out to the house, Murph, whatever. And he didn't want to do that, but he did it, you know, because that's the way he was. And we get talking, we do a nice interview, and he said all the right things, and we get done, and I was talking about how, well, there's a silver lining here, you know. I get a chance to be home for Thanksgiving for the first time in like 34 years. Now, Hank was like a 55-year-old guy at the time. He had little kids. He had his son, Chucky Bulla. He had another son, what was his name? Oh, Shane. All good players. But Hank said, I have not been home for Thanksgiving. I'd work and come home and go to their beds and kiss them on the cheek and wish them goodnight at Thanksgiving. He said, that's the silver lining. He was a real good family guy. Loved his family. His family, they're all Michigan State. Hank played for Duffy Doherty and coached with Duffy Doherty at Michigan State. And just a really good quality guy. And I don't want that to go unmentioned. And I don't want people to remember Hank Bulla as some sort of punchline to a joke. He was not. He was a really good defensive coach. He was not a good head coach for the Bills. He would probably tell you that. But moreover, he was a really good guy and a guy who loved his family, took care of his family, a guy who loved Michigan State. Yeah. I mean, he was almost out of place being anywhere but East Lansing, Michigan. That's how much he loved his college. And I salute him and his family. I wish them well. I send along the best I can because I know he was a pretty good guy, and I think he was a really good defensive coach. Thanks for letting me say that.
Yep. I never had the pleasure of meeting him. I got here after he was gone. Of course, when I got here, the Marv Levy era took over. The only closest I got to Hank Bulla being coached by him was his staff was still here when Marv took over in 86, and they retained those staff members until the end of the season, but never met the man himself. So
he was good. He was a really good guy. And he took, you know, again, 34 years ago, I'm a young kid just trying to learn what's going on here, and Hank he didn't take me under his wing, but he certainly treated me well and with respect, and I appreciate that all these many years later. All right, more about the Bills and the Cowboys coming up. What do you think is the Bills' biggest challenge with the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday? Give us a call. Phone line's open, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. When practice ends, Cody Ford, Bills' right tackle, will be in studio with us, and we got Kyle Brandt coming up at 2 o'clock, so stick around. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.